Scripture at this time and consider a message from God's Word. Here at the beginning of the year, January through March, we're in the book of James, which is in the New Testament and toward the back. If you're not familiar with the Bible or don't have a Bible with you, there are Bibles like this in the pew rack in front of you. You're welcome to take one. And the passage that we're going to be considering today in James chapter 3 is on page 978 in my Bible, in my pew Bible. So if you, in the other pew Bibles, there may be a couple different versions. It'll be close, but 978, James chapter 3. The overarching theme for the book of James is the subject of our faith. And our concern as those who profess faith in Jesus Christ is that our faith would make a difference in our lifetime, in the places where we live and among the people whom we serve, whether it's at work or at school, in our neighborhood. And so the footprint of our faith is the focus of our study. How is it that we can enlarge the footprint of our faith so we have a far-reaching impact, an impact that goes beyond what we can imagine because of those whose lives are touched by ours? James also deals with a number of things which hinder the footprint of our faith. And in James chapter 3, the issue that hinders the footprint of our faith is our tongue, the words that we speak. Hear the word of the Lord from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. I'm reading from the New International Version concerning the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So reads the scripture from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James' initial concern in this congregation of believers is that when they are gathering, that in their midst, that not many aspire to be teachers. Not many should become teachers. In other words, everybody's wanting to teach, and he's saying, no, that not many of you should. Only those who are gifted and called and set apart by God should be teachers because, and he gives the reason, those who teach will be judged more strictly. So if you want to kind of picture this, I had a seminary professor who said that on Judgment Day, if you see a slow-moving line, that's probably the professors and pastors just moved to another line. Kind of like going through TSA screening at the airport. You know, you want to have the TSA pre-approved on your flight ticket or on your boarding pass, because that means you can go through that lane that just goes whoosh, fast. Everybody else must be teachers because they're getting everything checked. And so, that you know, if you see a long line and it's taking a long time for each person to be screened and judged on Judgment Day, well, that's probably the teacher's line. And so James is saying not many of you should want to be a teacher because you're going to be judged strictly. What you say matters. If you're not speaking the words of God as God intended, then you're going to be held accountable for that. And then he goes into the general. We all stumble in many ways. Whoever is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. So what we're considering this morning, the proposition for this message is this. The influence of your faith is harmed by uncontrolled speech. And because of that fact, you and I need to surrender control of our tongue to God. We need to surrender control of our tongue to God. And there are three reasons in this passage why that is so. The first reason is this. We need to surrender control of our tongue to God because our words are deficient. Our words come up short. James 3 at verse 2 says, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. You could turn to the person next to you and you could just gently say to them, you're not perfect. Do you feel safe doing that? And then you can reply by saying, you're not either. God says so. James isn't saying that there's the perfect person in the congregation. Now, some of the people in the first century in the church that James is speaking to probably thought they were perfect. But their wives corrected them. His point is none of us are perfect. If we were perfect, we would be able to control every aspect of our life. And we try. But the truth is, we all stumble in many ways. Now, the verb there, stumble, is in the present tense, which means we continually stumble. We continually stumble. And stumble means what it sounds like. It means to trip and fall or to slip and fall. Today's a good day to understand what it is to slip and fall. But don't. Don't. Even though we have insurance, just don't. But slip and fall. Now, metaphorically or figuratively in the New Testament, this verb is used to describe sin, that we slip, we trip, we fall, especially in the area of our speech. We all stumble in many ways. So it's talking about spiritual failure. We come up short. The phrase, one who is never at fault in the next verse, or in the same verse, so we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who's never at fault, it really is the same verb. It would be better to translate it in the same way. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who has never stumbled in what they say is perfect. So you know that they... the author's using the same verb. Perfect there, perfection has to do with the idea of completeness or maturity. In the first century in Greek philosophy, Philo of Alexandria used the word teleos, which spoke of completion or perfection. He used it to describe the final stage of learning. In learning, we are beginners. And in Cub Scouts, we're, I think it was Weeblo. Is that right? I'm one day of Weeblo. I didn't make it to perfection. But, so I was a beginner, and I never passed being a beginner. So in the progress of learning, there are beginners, there are intermediates, there are advanced, and then there are those who are complete. The Eagle Scout, there you go. That's completion in scouting. In the first century, when Philo was philosophizing about education and the completion, the obtaining to the end goal, teleos, he thought of it in terms of reaching the limit of your professional ability. Reaching the limit of your professional ability. We can have an example from any number of examples from Olympic athletes, but right now I think of Lindsey Vonn, and I think we have a picture of Lindsey Vonn. She illustrates this perfection, this reaching the limit of professional ability, the idea of being complete as a world-class skier. She has won 81 World Cup races, more than any other woman. But in her mind, that's not good enough. She wants to win more World Cup races than any other person, male or female. But Lindsey Vonn also illustrates what it is to stumble in many ways. In fact, just last month, she was in the netting. Her edge went out at 70 miles an hour. And she wondered if she would be able to compete in the Olympics. And she's there. She's in South Korea and hopes to win a medal. But she illustrates what it is to stumble in many ways. She's blown out her knees. She's shattered a humerus. That's not funny, by the way. Why are you laughing? She's broken her ankle. She's severed a tendon in her hand. And she's had a failed marriage and then a failed relationship or two. She illustrates what it is to stumble in many ways, even though, professionally speaking, she is at the top of her game. The same word in terms of teleos that's translated perfect or could be translated complete is used by Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 14, verse 13, to describe spiritual maturity. In Ephesians 4, verse 13, the scripture reads, until we all become mature, teleos, until we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so there's the bar for us as Christ followers of what it means to be complete, what it means to be mature as a Christ follower. It means that we have obtained the full measure of the stature, which is Christ. So perfection or completeness is understood as spiritual maturity, being like Christ in one's attitudes of the heart and in one's behavior. But James tells us we're not perfect. And every time we open our mouths to speak, we stumble in many ways. Pastor John MacArthur puts it this way. He says, the tongue is you in a unique way. Our tongue is a tattletale because it tells the people around us what's in our heart and minds. It discloses the real person. And sometimes we say something and we go, oops. I don't know if you've been there. I've been there. I remember playing football in the neighborhood on Main Street in New Berlin, New York, as a youngster. And my sister was on the line across from me. And she hit me and knocked me over to get to the quarterback. And I swore. And she looked at me and she said,
I'm telling Mom.
And I swore again. And I said, don't. And at supper, she said, guess what Tom said when we were playing football today with the guys? Dad looks at me. What did you say? I stumbled. I didn't demonstrate maturity, spiritual or otherwise. By the way, I'm not perfect. I'm your pastor, but I'm not perfect. So we need to surrender control of our tongue to God because our words are deficient. We continually stumble in many ways. Think about it. When we open our mouths and stumble, it might be a boast, it might be blasphemy, it might be complaining, it might be contending. In other words, we're in a heated argument. It might be criticism, it might be condemnation. Condemnation is when you attack a person and you say, you stupid idiot. That's condemnation. We're telling them, we're calling them a name, and we could call people other names. But it's cursing, it's deceiving, it's flattering for our own ends, or flirting for our own ends, gossiping for the harm of another. Sometimes we think of gossip as, I just want to share this with you as a matter of prayer. But it's really interesting. Horrifying. I can't believe it. Let me tell you about somebody else. And then we pray. Gossip, it's lying, it's rage, it's solicitation to evil, it's slander. And it's a dozen or more other things. When we open our mouths, we stumble in many ways. So the first step on the path to surrendering control of our tongue to God, because our words are deficient, and we is the realization that my words are deficient. I sin with my tongue. And so we need to engage the practice of confession. We need to open our mouths and agree with God. We need to open our mouths and agree with God. My words are deficient. I keep on singing. Singing. I keep on sinning with my tongue. One of the correctives might be that we keep on singing with our tongue. But my words are deficient. I keep on sinning with my tongue. That I need to confess. Humbly confess, my words are deficient. There's a second reason that we need to surrender control of our tongue to God, and it's because our words are destructive. They're not just deficient. It's not just that they fall short of the standard. It's not just that they expose me as spiritually immature or emotionally immature. It's that my words are destructive. Verse 6, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it itself is set on fire by hell. This last year we saw, it seemed like, a record number of wildfires in the West. They were in Southern California, where thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of acres burned and homes were lost. And now today some of those same areas are having mudslides where the vegetation is lost, and now the rains have come and the mountains are sliding and houses are being destroyed. This fire, came close to my sister's home outside of Portland, Oregon. It's the Eagle Creek Fire. And Liz Fitzgerald, age 48 of Portland, was on a trail back in September when she witnessed a young man with a group of teenagers casually lighting a firecracker and lobbing it into a ravine from a trail near Punch Bowl Falls. He was one of about a dozen teenagers who were there from Vancouver, Vancouver, Washington. Those Canadians wouldn't do that kind of stuff. He was from Vancouver, Washington, not Vancouver, British Columbia. Boy, got to get that right. Liz said, in just minutes, there was a huge plume of smoke billowing up out of the ravine. And she took off running. And she ran down the trail to the trailhead and alerted the first Forest Service officer she found. But even with that early warning, there was no stopping the fire. It burned 49,000 acres. The young men got into their gray minivan and took off down Interstate 84. And another Forest Service officer took off after them in pursuit. This week on Friday, on February 16th, a 15-year-old boy in Vancouver, Washington, will appear in the Hood River Court being charged with reckless burning along with some other offenses. One careless act destroyed 49,000 acres, but also put his life and his reputation and the financial situation of his family at risk. Here's the truth. Your words, my words, can do far worse. Can do far worse. James warns us. He says in verse 5, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. It was just a firecracker. Are we going to scare some chipmunks? I don't know. But it was a silly, stupid act that had horrendous results. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets on fire the whole course of life. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. That's why we need to surrender the control of our tongue to God, because our words are destructive and our tongues are untamable. It is observed that there are some sins that an individual may not be able to commit simply because he doesn't have the opportunity. There are some things that, I haven't done, but then I haven't had the opportunity to do them. But there's no limit to what one might say with his or her mouth, and there's no built-in restraint apart from the Holy Spirit to set the boundaries and bridle the tongue. And so we need to come back to the practice of confession. The practice of confession. We need to agree with God. In this case, we need to agree with God that my words are destructive. And I have sinned against, and we need to get specific. We need to name names. I have sinned against my wife. I have sinned against, and name names. And I've done damage by, and then name the words that you used. acknowledge it as sin, the practice of confession. Be good to this week to take stock at the end of the day and say, confess first of all, Lord, I agree with you. My speech falls short. I sin with my tongue in so many ways. In fact, I've done harm this week. I've done harm today when I spoke to so-and-so. And this is the damage I did with my words. And be good to enter into the practice of confession and take stock at the end of a day so that we practice that spiritual discipline of confession. There's a third reason that we need to surrender control of our tongue to God, and that's because our words are dissonant. Dissonant. And I could go over to the piano and explain what dissonant is, just so that you remember. I took piano lessons a lot longer than I went to Cub Scouts. But, so here we have middle C. There's an octave chord. This is dissonance. Dissonance. Two notes played together, they're painful. They're painful. I have the utmost respect for Joe Brown and all middle school band directors, because you live with dissonance every day. So, dissonance. But everybody that lives with us lives with dissonance when we open our mouths at times. James 3, verse 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. And James is saying, those two things don't go together. How can that be? Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. As a young boy, I went to church every Sunday, First Baptist Church in New Berlin, heard my dad preach, but I stood and sang hymns to the praise of God, and then went out and cursed during playing football with my neighbors. Got caught. And James says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. There should not be dissonance in our speech. There should be harmony in our speech, consistency in our speech. And then he gives examples. James gives examples. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? No. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? No. Can a grape vine bear figs? No. And so our speech is directly connected to the source of our thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. And that source is either going to be my flesh or is going to be the Spirit of Christ who lives in me. That's why we see the dissonance, because sometimes I'm walking in my sinful nature, and sometimes I'm walking in the fullness of the Spirit. And James says, this ought not to be, or this should not be. The only way to bring harmony to it is to allow the Spirit to sanctify my mind and my heart, and then, therefore, my tongue. So I close with this prayer. It's a prayer in which we can not just practice confession. We do need to practice confession, but then we need to practice submission. And here's a prayer that is based on Romans 6, verses 11 through 13, based on Romans 6, 11 through 13, that practices submission. I'm just going to read through it, and then we're going to take just a moment for you to silently use this prayer for yourself before we close in worship. Heavenly Father, I count myself dead to sin, but alive in Christ Jesus. I will no longer allow sinful thoughts and desires to rule in my heart and mind. I will no longer offer my tongue as an instrument of sin and destruction. I surrender my mind and heart to you so that your thoughts, your word, and your desires will be the source of my thoughts, my words, and my desires. Make me whole and complete in Christ. Amen. Let's just take a moment for you. If you need to confess something to the Lord, if you need to confess your shortcoming in speech, if you need to confess the destructive harm that that's occurred because of your speech this week, take a moment to confess, but then close by praying this prayer silently, and then we'll close in worship. And let's take a moment to pray.